Hey, it's Mike Salk here. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk podcast. This episode is brought to you by Famous Dave's. That's America's favorite barbecue. To find a Famous Dave's near you, go to famousdaves.com.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just
Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Heward, not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
I love a good poll. Maybe not as much as Brock, Mr. Epic Pollster. Brock's going to be with us here in about a half hour as he is down at a big baseball tournament for his son. Do you know he has a son named Titus? He's mentioned him a couple of times. Anyway, Titus has a tournament this weekend. So Brock is doing that this morning. He's going to join us for about a half hour, and then he'll do the show the next couple of days. So just off today. But where was I going with all of this? I know he's the big epic poll guy. And I know, like, that's his thing. Okay, fine. He loves a good poll. But I made
one
yesterday.
Did you ask him permission to put one out?
No, I don't ask Brock for permission. I ask for forgiveness, never permission, obviously. So here, I just wanted to show you the kind of results, because I asked people what you would rather have done. Trade for Sam Howell with your little pick swap, right? A third and a fifth for a fourth and a sixth. Basically downgrading a round in each of those two. Or would you have rather just given up a sixth round pick for Justin Fields? A conditional sixth rounder is essentially next year's conditional sixth rounder. And 63.5% of you prefer the Howell trade, with a lot of votes, more than 5,000 votes, which is a lot for one of these suckers. So 5,000 people voted, and it's about 64-36. So pretty significantly in favor of Sam Howell. I wish so badly that I could have asked this same question a week ago. Which would you rather do? Because I want to know what percentage of that 64% are like, well, we already did it. I like the guy we got. Right. I want my guy to be good. If John Schneider picked him, then I like him. I would love to have been able to do more of a longitudinal study where you're able to kind of see how that result changes over time. But unfortunately, didn't have that premonition a week or so ago. But
well, based on the amount of texts and times we had heard the field stuff, because I guess he was being rumored a lot more than Howell ever was, it would seem that they would be flipped. Like, there's a lot more people texting in and asking, what about Fields? What about Fields?
Right, exactly. I wasn't getting a lot of what about
Sam Howell.
Right, we got the one guy who called the show and said, what about Sam Howell? That's the only time I ever heard his name. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe nobody knew he was going to be available, and if they had, it would have changed things. But sure seems like there were a lot of Justin Fields calls a week ago, and all of a sudden they've been reduced to the minority of people saying, oh, no, I wanted Fields.
I always wanted Howell.
All right, so who would you rather have now? Which situation would you rather be in? And I certainly love your text messages on this. You guys can jump in 866-979-3776. That's Mac and Jack's text line. But I wish that the Seahawks could have given up the Justin Fields package to get Sam Howell. I really, I'm stuck on them giving up the third round pick.
Yeah.
I'm stuck on that.
So you'd have no second or third.
And I know that sounds... No, you still have a third.
Oh, you're right.
You
had the one from the Denver.
Yep, and now you're going to have two fourths instead. But I'm stuck on... You had a first and two thirds, and now you have a first, a third, and two fourths. And that's just not the same. And maybe that's... maybe I'm overreacting to that. I probably am. Like, I'm willing to admit that that's not, the most important thing in the world. And if Sam Howell ends up being the right guy, the last thing in the world you're going to care about is whether or not you gave up the third round pick for him. I mean, that will be completely in the back of anybody's mind, forgotten long ago, if they end up, if he ends up succeeding and being a star quarterback here. But on the risk factor, right, I think there's risk with both Howell and Fields for various reasons. And I sure would have been a lot more comfortable giving up a conditional pick in the fourth to sixth round range than I would have giving up this third round pick. So that is sort of like influencing my decision a lot. In terms of which guy I would rather have, I honestly, I don't know that there's a real answer to that question. And I know that's such a terrible cop-out, and I'm sorry, but there's something, like, fit-wise. Like, they're both risks, right? They're both major risks. They both have some significant upside in different ways. Howell might be a bit of a gunslinger and a bit of a chucker, and Fields may have some issues with, you know, just sort of seeing the whole field, that being said, anticipating. That being said, you know, Fields is a gifted runner, which we've seen now a couple of years in the NFL. There's a reason he was a top five pair, top 11, was he the number 11 pick in the draft versus versus a fifth rounder. For Sam Howell. Like, that does show a difference in the way the league viewed these guys just a couple of years ago. And so to see Howell go for what I think is more than Fields is kind of a big deal. Now, with Howell, you get 2 years at dirt cheap salary.
Exactly.
So he can be your backup. You can kind of, he provides a lot of flexibility. If you somehow land a quarterback another way, then he can be your backup. You're not paying him much. He's on a rookie deal for fifth rounder. On the other hand, if he turns out to be great, you know, you have your options. And you can even afford to take some time. He doesn't need to start right away. You don't need to see this year what you have. You can wait until next year and find out what you've got, or play him a game or two this year if, you know, Geno gets hurt. And fine, that you still have another year in the contract. Fields, it's a little bit more sense of urgency, right? You're going to give him $3 million, which isn't the end of the world, but it's a little bit more certainly than Sam Howell. And you've got to decide either by May if you want to pick up his extension, which nobody's going to pick up the option year. Pittsburgh's not going to pick up the option year. Nobody is. So, all right, you then need to really decide this year if he's any good, which means you got to play him. Is Pittsburgh going to play him? Because they're saying they're going to play Russell Wilson, but that doesn't make sense at all.
The agent doing right by, or the team doing right by him by giving him a chance to.
I'm sorry. It doesn't make any sense. Is Russell Wilson going to start week one for Pittsburgh? I would assume so. Is Russell Wilson going to start 17 games for the Steelers? I don't see how. It's malpractice. If you're the Steelers franchise and you just traded for Justin Fields and you're trying, you only have him for 1 year, don't you have to figure out what you have in him in case you want him for longer than that? What would be the point
before
of trading
you spend
for him?
$20+ million on
right.
Him?
Or you just let him go at the end of that time, be like, eh, oh well. I understand that Mike Tomlin might be in a situation where he's got to do what's best to save his job, but from an organizational standpoint, this is a very strange situation, bringing in two guys who are both on one-year deals. Who's going to play? There's competing thoughts on it, right? If I'm Mike Tomlin, the veteran's probably going to play because I got to save my job. But if I'm the organization, hey, hold on a second. Both these guys are on one-year deal. One's twice the age of the other, and the guy who's older is making more money. Play the cheap guy who's young, and let's see what we've got, rather than the older guy who's had two god-awful seasons, three, really, in a row.
We're running out of time here, but let's see if you agree with this text. From 206, Howell passed the in-season eye test. I don't remember seeing Fields and thinking, this guy can really play.
I'm going to guess you didn't really see Fields. Okay. And I'm saying that because I didn't really see Fields, because nobody really did. Well, you're tuning in Bears games? They're terrible.
I mean, on my fantasy football team, I watched quite a bit. Yeah. No, there were games when they actually let him run. Like,
he's dynamic.
A better passer when he was able to have that escape, and they just never let him do it consistently. It seemed like they would shut it down from time to time, but there were games where he looked really good.
I just wonder how many people who answered Howell in the poll answered Howell because he's a Seahawk. And that's a totally fair, legitimate reason for a fan to vote for one guy over the other. And I would just say this. I do trust John when it comes to quarterbacks. I do. I think he's got a pretty good eye for it. If he chose Howell over Fields, I think there's probably a good reason for it. And then the point I was starting to make before and I got distracted, a lot of this is just about fit.
Yep.
Who fits the type of offense you want to run better? And if it's Howell over Fields, so be it. I'm certainly not going to lose a lot of sleep over it, but I am, you know, it's like those situations like Patrick Queen and Jordan Brooks, where when you have a choice between two people and you choose one over the other, you monitor how the other guy does, because if that guy turns into a star or is a lot better than what you did, you certainly go back and remember, man, you had their choice between either of these two options.
I just keep thinking about the chasing edges thing. Is this chasing edges?
I don't know. Maybe it is. We'll find out.
Okay.
Come back here with everything you need to know, and then Brock will be in at 7:30. It's Brock and Salk, CL Sports on 710CLSports.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see MoPOP's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
Cantor Diamond, four generations of professionalism, quality, and low prices. Let us earn your business and we'll make you our top priority. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email, CantorDiamond.com or on Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond.
All right, listen up, Tacoma. It's Mike Salk here. Yes, thank you for listening. And also want to let you know that America's favorite barbecue is back. Famous Days Barbecue at Tacoma Place is reopening on Thursday, April 18th. Join the welcome back party, which starts at 11 a.m. with Famous Dave Anderson himself. Famous Dave is going to be there? Oh my gosh. Photo ops, giveaways, and of course, the classic cue. You know it. Digging into smoking starters like the traditional wings and handhelds like the Georgia chopped pork sandwich. Or maybe feed more or less with the all-American feast. A full slab of ribs, a whole country roast chicken, choice of Texas beef brisket, or the Georgia chopped pork, plus the creamy coleslaw, the famous fries, the Wilbur beans, the sweet corn, the cornbread muffins, the whole deal. It is served family style for 4 to 6 people. All right, come get that barbecue fix and meet Famous Dave, 1901 South 72nd Street in Tacoma. It starts April 18th at 11 a.m. And of course, they're still in Tukwila off South Center Parkway as well. Just go to FamousDaves.com to learn more. That's FamousDaves.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Yeah, let's start here. The Seahawks have another linebacker starting to fill out that room. What was once a bit of a hole after letting both Bobby Wagner and Jordan Brooks walk out the door. They've now added Jerome Baker with Terrell Dodson. So Dodson was last week. Baker was, what, Friday or Saturday? Has been the starter in Miami for the last couple of years. Gets about $7 million on a one-year deal after hurting his hand at the end, or wrist at the end of last season. What do these two have in common? Well, they're both short-term deals, 1 year. They're both very highly regarded by Pro Football Focus, the scouting service, and it does feel as if a lot of the Seahawks' moves have been very Pro Football Focus friendly, and both are supposed to be pretty darn good in coverage, and certainly that should be an upgrade over some of the problems they've had with their linebackers and coverage the last few years. So, 27 and 25 years old, I think that's a young combo. You're giving them an opportunity. You're not spending a tremendous amount on the position, kind of like the way the Seahawks are handling the linebacker room so far this offseason. Meanwhile, quarterback situation in Pittsburgh got a whole lot more interesting as the Steelers traded for Justin Fields this weekend. By all accounts, it's still Russell Wilson's job, but feels hard to imagine that that's going to be very simple. We're going to go to Pittsburgh and chat at 9:30 this morning, but Brooke Pryor, who is the ESPN reporter, she's like the Pittsburgh Brady Henderson. She said, because Kenny Pickett got traded after all this, that, yeah, this is kind of an interesting situation on how all that went down.
Russell Wilson, if you'll remember, tweeted that video that was about a minute long, a hype video of terrible towels and renegades saying year 13. Things like that didn't quite suggest that Wilson was coming into Pittsburgh as a backup or as someone just competing for the starting job. Kenny Pickett was frustrated with that, and at that point is when he began to express that he would like to move on from the Steelers. And now he gets a fresh start in Philadelphia, and Russell Wilson gets a fresh start in Pittsburgh.
So Moore and I were just talking about this off air. So you think that's the first Kenny Pickett said he heard about it on social media?
Yeah.
So that means that the Steelers didn't tell him he was traded. He found out on social media that he was traded. Is it possible he found out through that video?
My read, yeah, was that
no,
Russ's camp was trying to distance themselves from the Broncos mess as quickly as possible. And right. as soon as they found out he was going to Pittsburgh, they had a Photoshop picture of him in a Steelers jersey.
Jumped the gun.
He released that video. And it kind of makes me wonder, yeah, if Pittsburgh
didn't
get a chance
break
to
the news?
Pick it before.
Didn't Schefter or somebody
Schefter
like that break
agents.
It? I know, but didn't they break the news first before the hype video?
I can't remember. I feel like it was pretty close together, wow. but he probably did get it.
If he saw the hype video first, that would be certainly damning. And you could see why maybe that would be frustrating for some of the other folks in that building. Anyway, we'll talk to Brock about it in a few minutes. And then, yes, we'll go to Pittsburgh and discuss at 9:30.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Oh, really fun Mariner weekend. The bats were out of control. Well, virtually everybody getting hits. I was looking at the offense. 7 of their regulars have an OPS over 900 right now this spring. Essentially every bat on this team, other than Luke Raley, Ty France, and Sebi Zavala, have an OPS over 800 right now. That is crazy. And France isn't too far off of that either. They just have been absolutely scalding the ball in the desert. But you know what? The pitching, of course, it's still been really good.
The wind-up and the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss at a fastball for strike 3. Fletcher strikes out. 5 strikeouts for Luis Castillo, and I believe his work is going to be done on the afternoon. We go to the bottom of the 5th inning, halfway point. Nice ovation for The Rock as he walks off the field here in Peoria. It's the Mariners 7 and the White Sox 1.
Yeah, he was excellent. Luis Castillo was. Went 5 strong innings on Saturday. Logan Gilbert did not allow a run yesterday. He was kind of in and out of trouble, but was able to use his pitches when he needed to and actually had a very good outing.
I thought Logan Gilbert was really good today. Winning the game, trying to focus on using some of the new weapons he's got. He threw actually quite a few two-seamers today and a lot of cutters, which are new pitches for him, just to kind of see where they were at. And he had really good results. A few broken bats. They get 6-7 strikeouts today. Really good outing for him. He's right on pace to, have one more before he gets going in the season.
Yeah, that was good news, certainly, there. And then the bullpen spot, there's going to be a lot of competition left for those bullpen roles. Keep an eye on Cody Bolton's name, as I see he may have a pretty good chance to make this team and be that Drew Steckenrider, Paul Sewald, Justin Topa breakout star for the Mariners.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Tough for Wazoo. They lose on Friday to Colorado.
Here's O'Brien for 2 slicing in. Certainly in the hearts of Buffalo fans who have likely punched a ticket to the NCAA tournament. We do know certainly they will play Oregon in the final tomorrow.
Yeah, Colorado, really the story in that one. The Cougs do get a 7 seed, so they are in the East. They played Drake in a 7-10 matchup Thursday. Games in Omaha, not that far from where Drake is located in Des Moines, Iowa. Gonzaga gets a 5 seed. They take on McNeese State Thursday in Salt Lake City. And the Lady Zags are the 4 seed in the women's tournament. So there you go. That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show. Does seem a little unfair. I don't know. I keep saying that, but I feel like when the higher seed shouldn't have to play that close to where the lower seed is based. Mm-hmm. It feels like a huge advantage. And I know the NCAA does like all the upsets, so maybe it's just one of the ways they kind of ensure that there are more upsets and some stuff like that. But I don't know. If I were a Coug fan, I'd be a little miffed that you make the tournament for the first time in forever and you got to go to Nebraska to play a team from Iowa. That just doesn't seem quite right. All right, we'll come back to that. We're going to take a quick break here. Brock, though, is going to be with us in a moment. Got to talk to him about the Sam Howell versus Justin Fields deal. Want to talk to him about what's going on in Pittsburgh. And I believe he was over at the Mariner facility yesterday, so we'll see what he was able to glean in Peoria. That's all coming up next. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
The Museum of Pop Culture, Seattle's destination museum for music, film, fashion, and gaming, has savings just for Washington residents in May. See MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Cantor Diamond, greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. Meet us in our professional private Tacoma showroom by appointment only. CantorDiamond.com or globally by phone, email, or Instagram at K-A-N-T-O-R Diamond. Cantor Diamond, truly the best diamond prices.
Mariners texts keep you one step ahead. Receive breaking news, exclusive offers, and so much more. Sign up in just seconds by texting Mariners to 24247. Again, just text the word Mariners to 24247 to stay up to date with all the latest from T-Mobile Park.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
This hour of the Brock and Salk Show is powered by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Power through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
I'll dance at Luda, I promise. I mean, I'll bob my head and be into it. I don't know if I'm going to, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be, like, breakdancing in the aisles or anything. I'm just...
Are you going to break... More, are you going to breakdance at Luda? You made it sound like you were...
I mean, I did date a breakdancer once. That was a really bad mistake.
You dated a breakdancer?
Yeah, I was like 26. What do you want from me?
Was he good at breakdancing?
No, that's the worst part. He was like the tall one in the crew. All the shorter guys were like way better. He was like the tall, awkward one. He was the worst one in the group.
Oh, that's sad. Oh, that's
his
a funny
name was
story.
Sterling.
Sterling the breakdancer. Yeah. All right, well, we're going to have to delve more deeply into that at some point. Brock, good morning. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little while. I know you got Titus's game today, so we appreciate having you for a little bit. What's up?
Was she on a date with Sterling?
Is back in the day.
When I was 26.
She dated a breakdancer. Yeah.
Darn it.
I know.
Brock can't wait for me to go on a date.
I know. Yeah, Brock's really interested in Morris.
It's been years.
Well,
yeah.
I can't wait. The show can't wait. I mean, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great addition. We get to meet this boy, and it'll be all good stuff.
This boy. I'm not a cougar, Brock.
We're just going to be going out with, like, some high school kid or something. Like, jeez. So you're in the desert?
I am. I'm back down in the desert. I honestly felt like I was cheating on the three of you yesterday as I was sitting there watching the Mariners play and walking through the facility, and had to actually Titus and Molly with me, which was really cool, and got a chance to see some of the fellas and Logan in particular, who, you know, was just absolutely dealing yesterday. And as you can imagine, it was like 66 and sunny and just a perfect day for some baseball. But you definitely got the sense where we were there on the front end, and I feel this a little bit on my fishing trips with Captain Tom. We were there on the front end, and by the back end, which is, you know, right now, they're ready to go. Like, right. They are, you know, and this is their last full week. I mean, it's crazy how fast it goes. It feels like we were just there, and they're just kind of beginning, and now this is their last full week. The truck will pack up on Friday. They will head to San Diego. It's kind of a payback, Monday, Tuesday to play, and here we go, man. Thursday, it gets real.
Which game did you go to yesterday?
I did. Yep, I did. I got to see Logan deal 5 shutout innings. It was nasty. It was 97 at the top. I think even Titus said the same thing. Like, man, I don't know how these guys hit. That ball moves so much because it was 97 at the top, and then he had his cutter going at like 91, 92, and then his splitter was like, you know, 82, 83, and goodness gracious, there's just such a variance between those pitches with such great movement that, you know, when he's on as he was yesterday, it's it could become really, really tough.
Is Logan even going to throw the slider this year? Like, is he just going to be like 3 different types of fastball and good luck, and sometimes I'll throw you a splitter? Like, I'm a little curious to see what that looks like for him this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree. I mean, I think if you have that much of a separation, you know, Titus was, as I said, it was kind of fun. We caught up with him as he was cooling down right by our old radio spot there. And And kudos to Titus, man. He was like, Logan, can I ask you something? How do you grip your split finger? Because you know, Titus is trying to throw a circle change or a split. And he's like, well, yeah, it's just kind of my changeup. You know, I used to throw or try a circle change and a Vulcan change and ultimately with this huge hand. He's like, ultimately, just kind of settled on the splitter. But even this, you know, it's still a feel pitch for me. You know, I still will at times kind of mess around with my thumb on the lace or not on the lace or move it this way or that way. And I think, you know, when you've got that kind of separation between fastball and that kind of split, and then that two-seamer does move, or whatever he calls it, it's, you know, moves enough, but cutter moves enough that, yeah, he becomes a pretty difficult animal to deal with. So fun to see those guys, but they are from Shannon to Heavily. I think they're all Divish. Poke my head up there. I think they're all ready to. It's been a good month, but I think they're all ready to kind of wrap it up and get back and get it going.
We're going to spend a little time here on some football as well, and I know we got Blue 88, and I don't want to take away from some of the Blue 88 questions, but you know, you see the news come down this weekend that the Steelers trade, you know, essentially nothing, a conditional sixth round pick next year for Justin Fields. What was your reaction? I mean, there were a little poll out there. I know you're the great epic pollster, but I asked the people, hey, which deal would you have rather done? And 64% said Howell. I would have loved to have also asked the same question a week ago and seen what the answers would have been then.
Yeah. I bet it would probably have leaned a little more Fields, quite honestly. But I think the Seahawks could have done that deal. If you're asking me, like, hey, you know, do you think the Seahawks were in on it? Do you think they talked? Do you think they wanted to do that deal? I think they could have done that deal. But I think ultimately they gauged, just listening to, and this is just kind of a judgment of listening to John through the years, I think they gauged Sam as a better passer, is a guy that is just more effective throwing it. You know, not as good a runner, obviously. Those numbers, Justin Fields a year ago with 40 first downs with his legs and everything else. He's a good runner. But Sam's capable. He's able. He's a good athlete. And just frankly, a better passer than Justin is. And that's what the league said, Salk. I mean, ultimately, if you go for that kind of value and the entire market is out there and as hungry as this league is for quarterbacks, now, granted, it's a 1 year versus 2 years, so you've got 2 years of Sam Howell versus just the 1 year, you know, because no team is going to pick up that fifth-year option of Fields, and certainly not Pittsburgh. So, you know, that plays a little role in the leverage, too. You just don't have that much time with them. And I think ultimately, just as a passer, he's got a lot of work to do. And he probably, a little bit like Russell, ends up in a system that will be ideal for his skill set. It can be a run, a play action, a movement. If you're Pittsburgh, this is pretty brilliant. I saw them, you know, applauded for this, as they, I think they should be, to get Russell on a minimum deal where Denver's paying the freight, and get Justin Fields for a conditional sixth round pick, and you know, less than $3 million is a pretty good way to fill up your quarterback room if you're the Steelers.
Well, we're going to discuss in Blue 88, but I think it's a little bit more complicated than just giving them some credit. Like, I think it's going to be kind of a weird situation. So we will discuss in a little bit more detail here in a few minutes.
You think?
That's a very curious situation. But I want to focus more on the Seahawks side of it. And, you know, if you were offered these two deals, which would you have done?
Yeah, I think I do the Sam Howell deal. And I don't just say that after the fact.
Really?
I think because of 2 years, I think so. I think he's younger. I think there, from a passing standpoint, is a little bit more upside there. And, you know, we've heard from a few folks about Justin, and maybe it's Chicago, man. Maybe Chicago was really, really brutal for him. But there definitely is some scar tissue there, just from a presence and a leadership standpoint, that he's got to get a little QB rehab, and no better person to do it than Russell Wilson to really help him bring some of that out.
Great mentor
and leader. I think in this situation, because of age, because of Geno, because of 2 years versus 1 year, that's probably, it's kind of like the trade deadline in baseball, Salk, where kind of look at that trade deadline, you know, do I get this guy for a year and a half or do I get him for 3 months? Is he a rental? And I think Fields is just is a rental. And when you've got somebody in place like Geno, I think it's a better situation based on everything we've talked about. And you said this a little bit, you know, last week, and still trying to figure it out. Hey man, is this about 24? Is this about 25? Right? So for Geno, it's a year-by-year proposition. And, yeah, I'd sure like to have somebody for a couple years behind him. Certainly somebody with some upside that I like. So I think solely, not for the talent or the player, if it was all the same or if it was flipped and I could get Fields for 2 years right. and Howell for a year, I would probably do the Fields deal.
I think I totally get that. And I was saying some of the same stuff earlier. I think what's frustrating is actually less about the quarterback you're getting back and more just on what you gave up. And it's a bummer to get just, I think you and I were both stuck on it last week of like, just such a bummer to give up that third round pick rather than in this case, next year's conditional six. That just doesn't, it just doesn't feel the same. Now, again, if Sam Howell turns into a great quarterback and your starter for the next 5 years, 7 years, 8 years, you'll never think about that third round pick ever again. It will completely disappear.
No. And I don't know what that value chart says, the difference between that third round pick in the 80s and the fourth round pick in the low hundreds is, right? Because it's a swap. You didn't just give up a third. You swapped the third and the fourth and the fifth and the seventh.
But it's not just the value. It's this year and everything we've heard about how day three could be kind of lousy this year. And I don't know, like I'm bummed out about it and kind of given a lot of the needs that this team has, that bummed me out.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to guess that they have a little bit more ammo from a value standpoint behind the scenes of where their values chart, you know, and their players start to really drop off or around the league or, you know, their ability to take those two fourths if they need to come up Salk early in the third or whatever and get somebody. So, yeah, there's still going to be some ammunition there to wiggle around in the third or the fourth or the fifth round, which is a place that they often like to wiggle around. And then we'll see what 16 turns into because – if I had to put my own hard-earned money on it right now, 5 weeks out from the draft, I think it's unlikely they drafted 16. I think they do what they always do and try to find more value, unless a player falls there that they absolutely love and they just can't move on from and is a difference maker, and then they make that pick. But I think more than likely, you know, this third, fourth swap, this fifth, sixth swap, this 16, you know, I think you're going to see a fair amount of moving around on that board. Free agency has been any indicator where there's been some volume play here, right? Where there's been just a bunch of moves here on the margins and a bunch of 1 years. And, you know, we got to bring in some supply and bring in some competition. I don't know why the draft would be any different as they try to move it around and add more pieces to this puzzle.
How are you feeling about Sam Howell? And, you know, after sort of having the weekend to think about it and determine, you know, what they're up to, anything new jump out to you there?
I'm kind of looking forward to meeting him and watching him. I don't think I had a Carolina game of his unless it was when, you know, I don't think I even had him when he was young in 19. I was already over there at Fox doing more of the Big Ten and Big 12, Pac 12. So I did not see him in person. I certainly watched an awful lot. And honestly, Salk, he was the guy that kind of a little bit like me. If he would have left school after 2 years of being a starter, you're looking at a guy that was going to get drafted in the first couple rounds. I don't know if he goes franchise level, but he would not have escaped the second round had he left school early. Instead, you know, I think he played as a true freshman. Instead, he goes back to school a little bit like my story and plays with a lot of young people. And out the door went Freddie Coleman and Jerome Payton and Olin Cruz and Rashawn Sheehy and Corey Dillon and Cam Cleveland, all the great guys. And in came a lot of youth and a lot of inexperience and a lot of the backup guys that waited some time. And that was his story there in North Carolina. And all that juice kind of left and he was left running around. And unlike, you know, I couldn't run around, he could. So he ran for 9 or 10 touchdowns and just kind of carried and willed that team. But it, you know, certainly took a toll on him, toll fundamentally, toll physically, probably a toll mentally and emotionally. And he slips really far in the draft down to the fifth round. So super intriguing guy. I can't get Baker Mayfield out of my mind. I see a lot of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I really do. From just a posture, a strength, a build, a delivery, there's just, he may even have a little quicker delivery. Sometimes Baker can be pronounced, and we know you love Baker and love kind of some of his
toughness. I like Baker.
But
what I like most about Baker is his kind of bravado.
Correct.
And I don't know whether, I mean, you know, again, sort of the rumor.
This guy's a little more serious.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit less of a talker. Yep.
He doesn't quite have the bravado element. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't, because he seems to play with kind of a gunslinger mentality at times, it seems like.
I'm sort of wondering
if there's, you know, some of that bravado. John Keim from D.C. Said this.
I think there were times where some coaches here wanted him to kind of take a little bit more control when guys were running bad routes, et cetera. But I think he kind of feels like he probably had to build up to that. But all those other intangibles are there. Like the players, like linemen, love the guy. He didn't throw them under the bus. He got, he was sacked 65 times. But here's the other part to what you just asked. A lot of those sacks were not on the offensive line. Like, it wasn't a great offensive line, but where Howell struggled was holding the ball a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, echoing a lot of what we heard from Bram last week.
Yep, and I think if you look back at Baker's early career, even in Cleveland, I know he had some success.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to see a high level of picks. You are going to see some sack rates at times were a little crazy. And, you know, that's some of the trade-off on the other side. And that's some of the reality and why a new regime that came in there, and obviously the number two pick in a QB-rich draft plays the biggest role, but says, yep, time to move on and find you a better place. And if you're Sam Howell, you've got to think this is a pretty good place, man. This is a stable organization compared to what he just came out of. You have a super veteran quarterback that sounds excited to have Sam here, in a guy that has resurrected his career in this place. So, yeah, I think a pretty positive deal and one of a bunch of these moves, man, that I'm just kind of excited. So I'll get it's going to be at OTAs and training camp, a whole new world. If it's been unique and surreal to see Mike McDonald, to not see Pete, to walk through this, wait till we get to mini camp at OTAs and you're like, oh, my gosh,
right.
From all the assistant coaches to the coaching, to the style, to the players, man, it's going to be, after 15 years, a very, very new experience, especially on that berm and training camp as well.
This is Brock and Salk's Blue 88.
Blue 88! Blue 88!
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as only he can.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Brock, last week you told us about two linebackers, Tyrell Dodson and Jerome Baker. Dodson signed on Thursday. Baker signed a couple days later. So now the Seahawks have their linebacker room, at least the beginnings of it, set.
Yeah.
How will this group be different or similar to what we saw the last few years with Bobby and Jordan Brooks, et cetera?
Yeah, it will be different to your eye, just the size. I mean, Bobby was a 250-pound, just, you know, big thumper. When old Justin Bard saw him throw out that first pitch, he marveled at that just absolute girth and calves and sides and shoulders and all of it. And he was a big dude. And even Brooks was, what, 235? I think he even got up to about 240. So they were a little bit bigger. These two, in many ways, Salk, are outside, like, will linebackers. And that's what I'm kind of curious to see, if they add a little bit of thump. And there are a couple in this draft, and including the kid Colson, Junior Colson out of Michigan. So first and foremost, just what your eye will see before we get to any of the metrics and any of the play, your eye is going to see a couple guys that are just a little bit smaller, that 230 frame, that 225 frame, both guys that run in the 4.5s and don't have an immense amount of wear and tear. Dodson been able to stay really healthy. Baker had an MCL early, but largely has been super productive. Banged up, I guess, a little with that last year, but super healthy, super young, a little bit lighter, and really run. From a play standpoint, what will jump out to your boy right here more than anything is, oh my gosh, we can actually cover up some people at the second level. We don't have these massive voids of space that it feels like everybody is running into, finding receptions in, and we can cover some of these things down. They call it cover down. You got to cover down. You got to, you know, drop into your hook zone, but then have a quickness and a spatial awareness and a speed and just a football acumen to cover that thing. And I think that's what PFF saw as much as anything when they rated these two guys number 3 and number 18 in the league. Remember, 64 starting linebackers, inside backers, so they were 3 and 18. That's pretty good. Bobby and Jordan last year were number 49 and number 50 in those rankings. Mm-hmm. So that, from a metric standpoint, play standpoint, should jump out really quickly. What they're asked to do schematically, I also can't wait to see, because there will be more pattern reading. There will be more match reading. There will be, I think, a little more man coverage with those guys, because certainly Dodson can run. But keep an eye on the thumper, man. They still need some size and some bulk at that position, and the draft has a few of them, not loaded with a ton of them, but has a few of them that may be available there in the second, third round.
All right, question number 2. If they want to take care of that or any of their other needs, still probably at guard, is there anything left in free agency and anything left in their coffers?
Yeah, I don't have names yet, Salk, but there could be a guard center still available. And there could be a little money in that kitty still left in their free agent stash. But they have, and you start to add up lots of these deals, Salk, they have spent some of their allotment, between obviously the linebackers and Sam and George Fant and the safety and, yeah, Jenkins. And they've spent a little bit of money in the tight end. So, I don't think there is a ton left. I don't think it is a mega major name or anything like that. Could there be a trade available? Absolutely. There's always trades available. So whether it's a free agent guard or maybe trading for a guard, they really like Salk. There's that possibility. But that would be kind of the one position, an interior offensive lineman, a guard center. If there's still some need there on the roster, absolutely. Are there still some pieces out there via trade or free agency? Yes. So I'll work that a little bit this week, and we'll see if we can get you a name or two to keep an eye on. But that would be the one position that I think still – and remember, they start a little bit earlier. Unlike in the past where we've never had a new coach, April 1st will be the starting date. So we're just a couple weeks away from those guys starting phase one of the program. And
crazy.
And sure like to see, yeah, everybody kind of get involved, so they should be able to hit the field a little bit earlier. So everything kind of – sped up as far as the offseason goes. It was sped up with the firing and all these moves. But then the offseason gets going a little bit faster here. April 1st, we'll see a whole bunch of these guys on campus there in Renton.
Just a couple of weeks. All right, question number three. I am going to talk to one of the beat writers in Pittsburgh at 9:30 this morning, Brock, because I got to know, how's this going to work, man?
Oh, boy.
Russ and Justin Fields going to work in Pittsburgh?
Oh, my gosh. Do we know yet who has Hard Knocks? I don't think, because they made the playoffs, they probably have no shot at it, and they've done it in the past, I think. So it would be, that would be some fun Hard Knocks to watch. How is it going to work out? Well, you know how it's going to work out. Initially, they're going to be the best of buds, and they're going to, and Russell's already tweeted them, and it's all going to be great. It's going to be terrific, and Russ going to get to help a young guy out and a playmaker and a baller. I already listened to Russ's press conference. Did you listen to it in Pittsburgh?
No.
Ugh. He's already dropping. And it's beautiful because he starts on a few names, right? And then he just got to keep going on names.
Right.
If I mention one or two, now I've got to mention Jordan. I've got to mention Friarbruth. And I got to mention Cam Hayward. Oh, and of course, Mr. Watt. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I think Justin may – I know that he had a little bit of challenge of being the guy and handling all the press and all the expectations of a top 11 pick and everything else. But I think behind the scenes, he's going to get tired of Russ. And I don't know how long that will take. I don't know if that will be OTAs. I don't know if Russ is going to get the whole gang together in L.A. and invite him to be a part of it. But it will be some must-see TV, reality TV, no question.
How do you think
it
goes? All right, that's Blue 88. How do you think it goes in terms of who plays, et cetera, because I understand what's been said, and I understand that, they say Russ is going to be the starter. Justin Fields
is going to get first crack. Russ is going to get first reps at OTAs, just like Geno Smith got in competition here with Drew Locke, right?
Justin Fields is younger and less expensive.
Yes.
You can't get over that for them.
Yes. I mean, actually, Russ this year is less expensive.
I'm sorry. Justin Fields is younger and more expensive, excuse me, is what I meant to say.
Correct. Yeah, there you go. So Russ costs nothing.
Right.
And then, you get a real kind of, let's take a look. And, this will be an interesting motivation for Russ. He's never had this motivation necessarily, or at least not since the early years. So, he's got to try to play for one more deal, right? I mean, he's on a one-year minimum deal. Obviously, he gets $38 million from the Broncos, but then that runs dry. And so he's going to, you would think, be unbelievably motivated to get a new deal and to get one last payday for him.
Yeah, but the moment he throws a pick, moment he has a bad game, especially, you think the Steeler fans are going to be patient?
Yeah, Russ didn't want to go to Philly a couple years ago. He didn't want to make that trade. He wanted to be in Denver where he could be in complete control. He's going to have no control.
Zero.
He's going to have zero. And you're absolutely right. Those Pittsburgh fans, they don't often get lumps. It's always Philly and Boston and New York. but Pittsburgh's tough, man. There is Mike Tomlin's nothing but one there and got in the playoffs there, and it's just not good enough. So they're ready to kind of run him out last year. So, yeah, there's tremendous pressure on Mike Tomlin to win and even more pressure on Russell Wilson to compete. And all of it, all of it makes
just
for...
So you guys know, Hard Knocks 2024. Bears, Broncos, and Saints are the three, three teams.
All right, all right. Not our Seahawks. Maybe we get our Seahawks with Mike McDonald.
Pete. Pete didn't want any part of that.
No. Too much proprietary work going on here. You're not going to get in my doors.
And by the way, excited for the Mike McDonald era, but do you think that he has the personality Hard Knocks is like desperately seeking?
You know what? I think he's got a little more humor. Grubb's got some of that personality. And then you got a, what do you have, an Englishman as a D coordinator?
Yeah.
I mean, you got,
that would be interesting. They'd have to put subtitles up there.
I mean, Robert Saleh wasn't the star of Hard Knocks last year.
That's true.
Right. Yeah, you got some Clay to mold. By the way, speaking of Clay to mold, Julio, and two things. The uniform gate, has it been figured out? Because I've not heard any complaints about the uniforms. I think we're good to go now. Okay. Right? That was a really big deal when we were down there. Secondly, Julio is just a he's just a creature, man. He's just so uniquely gifted. Like, even like for people to see him in person, I was listening to the people all around me, too, right? Just people talking behind me. Like, look at Julio. Julio is just an Adonis. I mean, he's just he is so, so talented. And then look at the numbers and the production. So just a reminder, Saul, because we talk about seemingly everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Just a reminder that as we get going here to keep Julio in the forefront, because the guy is just unbelievably talented.
I've been ringing the bell over and over again, man.
Yes, you have.
Why were the Mariners not as good as they wanted to be last year? Yeah, there were some reasons with the roster, but the biggest one for me is Julio just didn't have a great year.
Did not have a great start
for
sure.
Good.
So.
All right, buddy. Yep. Enjoy the rest of your time. We'll chat more tomorrow. Brock will be back on tomorrow and Wednesday the rest of the week. But enjoy your time in the desert. See you, buddy.
Will do, buddy.
Good
See
luck
ya.
To Titus. All right, there you go. That is Blue 88 and a little time with Brock. This Kenny Pickett thing is so funny. All right, Shannon's going to join us at 8:30. And I think we need to kind of dig through the Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson, Justin Fields love triangle, because Moore and I have been working on some theories behind the scenes. We'll see what sticks. It's next on Brock and Salk.